still in verse 24. And then this verse, of course, discusses the mantra, Gopal mantra, and it says Priya Vanir means a dear one to Agnidev, or the wife of Agnidev, with Swaha. And of course, that's the mantra, Swaha. So I just thought I would read a little bit about the meaning of Swaha, because that's in the word for word. Interesting, in a word for word, they translate. Just like sometimes they'll be in a book, it'll say Madhusudan. So Madhusudan means bumblebee, but we know, of course, it means Krishna, who likes to, drink the sweet nectar from the lotus face of Radharani. So he's known as Madhusudana. And I was just thinking that every devotee has that quality. He should be Padmamukh and Madhusudan. Everyone should be like a honeybee and a lotus flower. So everyone should be like Madhusudan. Because I was just thinking that I was speaking with one devotee, and after he left, and I thought, well, actually, each devotee is like a Madhusudan, like Krishna. Krishna's always looking for nectar, and he's known as Madhusudana because he likes to drink the nectar from the sweet lips of Radharani's lotus face. And her face is like a lotus flower. It's very sweet and always oozing the sweet nectar of prema from her bimba fruit lips. So every devotee is like that because we're part and parcel of Krishna, so we're like him. We should be like a bumblebee, and in the fact that we're always flying from, like a bumblebee's nature, like Madhusudana, is always flying from one Ali to another, to another, to another. So Ali means bee, and dear female bee, and it also means gopi. So he's always flying from one flower to another. And then when he gets to those flowers, he drinks nectar. So I thought that actually when a devotee is like a honeybee, and when he meets another devotee, that devotee should be like a lotus flower. And when that bee-like devotee meets that lotus flower devotee, he should get nectar from their mouth. Not that he kisses them or anything. But like Krishna gets nectar from Radharani's mouth, and Lita Vishaka Sakhi and thousands of millions of Sakhis, he gets sweet nectar, the nectar of their loving heart coming through their lips. But the nectar that devotees want, the bumblebee devotees want to get to drink the nectar also. And the nectar is rasa kata, hari katamritam. So if you're sitting there, you're like a lotus flower, and if one bumblebee devotee, one honeybee devotee flies over to you and lands on you, that means you're supposed to give him or her nectar. So, like if a honeybee comes to the flower, what does the flower say? The flower says, oh, honeybee, welcome, please. Drink some nectar. Enjoy my colorful petals and the softness of my petals and the color of my petals. But nourish yourself on my life-giving pollen and drink deeply from the nectar in my heart and be satisfied. And so that honeybee will stay there for a second and drink that nectar and take the pollen and then jump to another flower. So each devotee has these two qualities. He should be like a lotus flower and like a honeybee. So sometimes he flies like a honeybee to another flower-like devotee looking for nectar. And if that devotee becomes like, you know, he just, instead of being a lotus flower, he just gives poison. And then that devotee, instead of being a honeybee, he becomes like a fly. And he drinks that stool of blasphemy, or he drinks that stool of diplomacy or politics or all kinds of things. Then neither the devotee who's acting as a source of that substance or the bee-like devotee that's been transformed into a fly, neither one benefits. But so I realized that we are always going through two roles. Sometimes we're acting as honeybees and sometimes we're acting as flowers. And that is really our only identity. And we should remember that. And this is what Sadhu Sangha means. Oh, devotee has come. So is he going to be a flower in this exchange, or is he going to be a bee and I'm going to be the flower? Or are we both going to be bees and flowers? So like, oh, you tell me something about Krishna. So then I tell you about Krishna, And then I become like a flower and you become like a bee and drink up the katha. Then I said, okay, now I told you some stories, now you tell me some. So then I become like a bee and drink up the nectar from your flower-like mouth and flower-like heart. At any rate, so this, sometimes the word says Madhusudan, but it means a whole lot more than just bee. So Priyawan here means a whole lot more than just the wife of Agni. It actually means Swaha, refers to Swaha, which ultimately refers to offering oneself or giving one's heart to Srimati Radharani. So I just wanted to quote one purport that I wrote here in the book that describes the... there's a second... I just want to summarize this purport again to remind you of verse 24. The word klim represents... This is a summary of the purport to verse 24. The word klim, which is the seed of desire or the transcendental kama bij, represents the seed of desire or aspiration. The Gayatri Mantra, the Kam Gayatri, has two aspects. It impels or forces or moves the soul towards the supreme enchanter of the heart. It impels the soul towards the supreme enchanter of the heart, Krishna, the Lord of Gokul and the Lord of the Gopis. When a devotee sadhaka becomes free from selfish desire, he can attain the perfection of divine love of God, Krishna Prema. But if the sadhaka still harbors some personal individual desires, the supreme Gayatri mantra, Kam Gayatri, will fulfill those too. So I want to read something about the identity of this mantra and the importance of it and the purpose of it. So I'll read from this book, Gayatri book, because it's... Sometimes we take for granted or become complacent about our sadhana, about our everyday, you know, practices of devotion. So to hear about, that's why there's a whole thing called Nam Tattva. And Shubhananda Prabhu, one of our godbrothers, he compiled a book years ago. I don't know if it's still around. It's called Sri Nam Amrita. Everyone seen that? Anyone seen that book? Sri Nam Amrita? Big, thick book. And basically what it is all the quotes in Prabhupada's books and purports and verses and tapes and everything where Prabhupada glorifies the nectar of the holy name. So that, of course, is glorifying one of the particular tattvas of Krishna consciousness known as Nam Tattva, which is the primary basis of our life. It's the abhideya of our life and it's the goal of our life is Prem Nam, Shuddha Nam. So it's very important to understand all about the name, the glories of name, who, what, when, where, why, how, all these things in relation to the name. So the same thing with Gayatri Mantra. We tend to sleep through Gayatri. Oh, I missed it. Maybe tomorrow. And well, anyway, two's better than nothing. One's better than nothing, and two's better than three. And, you know, well, it was last week I chanted, and, you know, well, I've been on vacation, so I kind of forgot. And, you know, so we, different things happen. Oh, I was in the hospital, I couldn't chant my Gayatris, and we were really missing out a tremendously valuable and powerful form of devotional service. Oftentimes when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it talks about Lord Chaitanya chanting Nam Sankirtan. So he was always chanting different names of the Lord in ecstasy, but his actual initiation mantra was the same mantra, Gopal mantra. This is from chapter 6, the Gopal Mantra. Identity and importance. This is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, chapter 9, verse 6, purport. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita that Brahma was initiated into the 18th letter Gopal Mantra, which is generally accepted by all devotees of Krishna. We follow the same principle because we belong to the Brahma Sampradaya, directly in the disciplic chain from Brahma to Narad, from Narad to Vyas, Vyas to Madhva Muni, Madhva Muni to Madhavendra Puri, to Ishvara Puri, to Lord Chaitanya, and gradually to His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, our Divine Master. The chanting of this holy Gopal mantra is the only shelter of the desireless, pure devotee of the Lord. Quite a profound statement by our Gurudev or Param Gurudev. The chanting of this Gopal mantra, that's mentioned here, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya, is the only shelter of the desireless pure devotee of the Lord. Now this is the end of the quote. Now this is the text of the book. Of all the Diksha mantras mentioned in the Shastras, the Gopal mantra, Krishna mantra, is the most important. Sri Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan and the Sarva Avatari, the original personality of Godhead, who is the source of all other avatars. And his Braj Leela displays the greatest amount of beauty and sweetness. Similarly, the Gopal mantra, which manifests Krishna and induces that unique Brajaras to flow in the heart, is the greatest of all Diksha mantras. The mantra is called the Krishna mantra or the Gopal mantra because it describes Krishna in Gokul, the abode of cows, wherein the Lord plays as Gopal, the eternal lover of the gopis and the protector of the cows. Nevertheless, one should always remember that the Hare Krishna mantra is called the Maha mantra because it is more powerful than any other mantra in bestowing Krishna prema. The 18th syllable Gopal mantra is described in Gopal Tapani Upanishad and Hari Bhakti Vilas. In the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said there are 18 Upanishads, but for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's specifically for his disciples and most all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, there are 8 Puranas that are considered very important. And of all those 8 Puranas, the most important of all the Upanishads, there's 108 Upanishads. There's 108 primary Upanishads. Of course, there's many, many more. There's 108 primary Upanishads. And of those, 12 are very important to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, like Katha Upanishad, Shvetasvatara Upanishad, comes to mind. And then, of all those 12, the most important is the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which are Kushakrata is translated into English and has commentaries by Vishwanath Chakravartipad. So you can understand the significance of it by the virtue of who commented on it. Because Vishwanath doesn't comment on anything and everything. He's very particular about what he comments on. Whatever he comments on is specifically anukul for prema bhakti, braja bhakti. Oftentimes it's considered that by the contemporary followers of Vishwanath that he was the reincarnation of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami lived 500 years ago, and then 200 years later, Vishwanath appeared on the scene with an extremely intimate view of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, being the fact that he's a Mandri himself. What's his name? Vinod Valery Mandri. So this Gopal Tapani Upanishad describes this mantra and also Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami. It is one of the most important mantras in the entire Gaudiya Sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is initiated into the 10-syllable Gopal mantra, Gopijanavallabhaya Swaha, by his guru Sripad Ishwarapuri. The mantra means, there's a general meaning, there's much more elaborate. I offer oblations unto Krishna Gopijanavallabha, the beloved of the gopis. Since the gopis are Krishna's most intimate associates, the Gopal mantra is one of the most confidential mantras. The Narada Pancharatra also mentions the Gopal mantra and an additional Siddha Gopal mantra that has an extra tantric syllable, Om Shrim. The Gopal mantra is mentioned in the Gotamiya Tantra also, besides Narada Pancharatra, which describes how Brahma gave the 18-syllable Gopal mantra to Lord Shiva. So, once he got it, then he passed it on. Right? That's called Guru Parampara. He got it from Divya Saraswati, then he gave it to Shiva, Narad, etc. And then it came down ultimately to all of us. So this is what you call a gift of God. The Gopal mantra is a gift of God directly. Now, where did this mantra come from? It came from God. You know, it's a very, you know, it's a great source, the greatest source. It's not man-made. God made. Although, and then Lord Shiva then gave the mantra to Narada Muni. Although the Gopal mantra is the same, it can be formulated differently with 18, 12, 10, or 10 syllables, as used by Lord Chaitanya, or even 8 syllables. In chanting the 10-syllable Gopal mantra, Mahaprabhu tasted one aspect of the gopi's prayojana, or pure love of Krishna. By the mercy of Sanatana Goswami and other exalted Vaishnavas, the Gopal mantra is now prevalent in the Sampradaya. Before the appearance of Mahaprabhu, this mantra was not made available to everyone. Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorjase Namah. So this is another example of the installment of the mercy of the divine Prem Avatar, Prem Purushottam Mahaprabhu Sri Gauranga, that this mantra was only given to certain qualified people and all that. So then he just opened up the storehouse of love of God and said, oh, what's in this storehouse? Oh, all the means and wherewithal how to get love of God. Oh, you need to give the Hare Krishna mantra to anybody and everybody. Okay, everybody. Oh, there's another thing in here in this storehouse of love of God. Oh, the Gopal mantra. Okay, well, give that to everybody. And, oh, this was hidden in here also, Kam Gayatri. Okay, take this out. Give this to everybody. And then Guru mantras and Gora mantras, they came later with Janava Mata. Guru mantras were there, but Janava Mata brought the Gora mantra. It was only given to qualified persons with substantial Sukriti. The Gopal mantra is Chintamani, the sweetest of the secret mantras. As described in the Brahma Samhita, which we heard in this verse, the primary purpose of the Gopal mantra is to make the soul run after Krishna, the all-attractive Lord of the Gopis. However, because it contains the Kama Bija, seed of desire, it can also satisfy material or spiritual desires. In Goloka Vrindavan, or for a pure devotee, the Kama Bija fulfills spiritual desires for Krishna's loving service. Okay. That was that. So, any questions so far? 8 syllables is the one in, I think it's 10. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita is also 10 syllable. 8 syllable means they leave off one word, or maybe they emphasize Govinda instead of the other word. Like we have 18, because so has Krishna, so 12, 14. If you leave off Krishna, then it becomes 14. If you leave off Govinda. So we have Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopi Janavala, but Lord Chaitanya, in the 10 syllable, there's no Krishnaya, Govindaya. Because he's like just stuck up with Gopis. You know, Gopi Janavala. Gopi Janavala, that's Krishna, and Radharani is Lord Chaitanya. So he doesn't need Madan Mohan or Govindaji. Krishnaya represents Sambandha, Abhideya, Sambandha, which is Madan Mohan, the attraction, principle of attraction. Attachment. And then the principle of loving service is Govindaji. That's Govindaya. And the principle of pure love and loving exchange of ecstatic ras is Gopinath. Right? Gopi Janavallabha. Anything else? Yeah. Brahma is known as Adi Kaviye. Means the original intelligent person. Also, he's a poet. So you have to understand, you're reading his diary. For you, it's some dry, you know, law book from the catacombs of the law library. But for Brahma, it's his diary. So in a diary, you sometimes write a poem. Sometimes you cut out a newspaper clipping and put it in. Sometimes you write very documentary, this happened and that happened and this was said and that was said, like Transcendental Diary, so-and-so entered the room and dropped on the floor and all these little details that are in the Transcendental Diary. That's a diary. So this is the diary of his revelations, of his fears, of what happened, of how it happened, chronology, documentary. So he's a good writer. You want nothing but the facts. You want the facts. I mean, the mantra says swaha. Why doesn't he say swaha in the verse? It's not fair. You know, you want Brahma to behave like you behave. But he's a little more poetic, maybe. And he's not trying to confuse you. He's just actually enthusing you. Because in the 11th canto explains that Krishna himself, he likes indirect glorification much more than direct. So when you use words where you're hinting at Krishna or hinting at the personality without saying his name or without directly mentioning, and you make people start to guess, like you say, oh, there's a person in this room and he's very intelligent and he's highly qualified, he's very handsome, and then everybody starts thinking, and I start speaking all these different phrases, and everyone's looking around, who is that? But if I just say, you know, Krishna Das is very intelligent, then immediately you know who I'm talking about. If direct glorification is that Krishna Das is very intelligent, he's so beautiful, this, that, you know, all these things. I'm just making a name up, right, Krishna. So if you say, oh, the Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna, he's the greatest, he's the most intelligent. But if you say, oh, there's one person who is so beautiful, and one of the beautiful things about him is everything he does is he does in a crooked way. You know, whenever he stands in a crooked way, and whenever he walks, he kind of walks in a crooked way, and whenever he has a stick, when he leans, he has a cowherding stick, and it's crooked, it goes like this. And his speech, he outwardly speaks one thing in front of his elders or when the gopis are there and his mother and father are there, but it has a crooked, upside down meaning. And the gopis are thrilling in ecstasy as he's speaking one way, and the mother and father, like when Mother Yashoda wakes Krishna in the morning, he says, oh, my Lala, what happened to you? There's so many bruises on your neck and so many scratches. And then, Madhumangal, he's there because he lives with Krishna in Nandagaon, and he goes into the room and with Mother Yashoda and Mukara and Kalimba and Rohini and all the, you know, different mothers. And then they're waking up Krishna. And Mother Yashoda, she's thinking, oh, what happened? Oh, Madhumangal, what happened? So then Madhumangal, he uses these words, which he says, oh, you know, last night, you know, when we went to Pavan Sarovara, Krishna was playing with his friends, and his friends, they scratched him, and they hit him, and they bit him, and so he got bruises on his lips, and he got scratches. So he was speaking outwardly one way, Madhumangal, but he was using the word friend, but friend can be taken in this context to be a feminine friend or a masculine friend. So Yashoda's thinking, oh, he went to Pavan Sarovara, and, you know, he was playing with his coward boyfriends. They were wrestling and they were biting each other and scratching each other. But Madhumangal's inside meaning, which is the crooked meaning, is that actually last night he was in the forest of Vrindavan and the gopis scratched him and they bit him and this and that. So this is called crooked speech. So Krishna's clever. He's like this. So if I'm using all these indirect glorifications, then you'll be thinking, who is this? Who is that? Who stands crooked way? Who has a crooked stick? And naturally your mind flies, runs very quickly. I don't want to mention her name. It may get more attractive. Your mind runs very quickly to the lotus feet of your beloved. So in the same way, we're speaking indirectly about Swaha, who is another name for the goddess of fortune. It's another name. So many things. So therefore, Brahma is being very poetical and he's capturing the attention. Because in all obviously, that's not the mantra. So the next question after this question is, well, if that's what it says in the Shastra, and that's what the Guru says, then the mantra should be Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Priyavaner. But the mantra is not that, because every other place where the mantra is written, it's written with Swaha. In Narada Pancharatra, in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, in the Gautamiya Tantra, and everywhere else. But Brahma wanted to be a little poetical, so instead of saying, you know, or excuse me, Saraswati, Saraswati was giving the mantra, she wanted to be a little poetical because she is the goddess of speech. So she's indicating that the real Swaha, that Swa, that personality, Ha, whom we should offer ourselves to, is not the Swaha. Because when you make an offering in the fire, you offer some barley and sesame, Swaha, you give it to the Shakti. Because a maidservant always serves the king. You don't serve the king directly. So the maidservant, you know, she makes the preparation and she brings them in and feeds the king. So you make an offering to Yajna Vishnu. You're making an offering to Vishnu, who's residing in the fire. But he has to get it in a certain way. He gets it through the hands of his pure devotees, like Agni. But Agni, he's just sitting around being the enjoyer. But he has his Shakti. Who's his Shakti? Swaha. So you make the offering, Swaha, and she picks it up and brings it to Agni. Oh, my husband, here's the offering. Here's some sesame and barley and all these mantras. Om da 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 shvaha. That's what we say, shvaha. Why don't we say Agni? Why don't we say Vishnu? Vishnu is the fire. He's eating the offerings, but he's eating through the mouth of Agni. So as a chaste wife of her husband, Shwaha, she takes the offerings. Here, my husband, eat, enjoy yourself. So he eats everything. Then the fire goes, woo, and he puts the ghee, Shwaha, oh, ghee. And if it's a really good jugga, then you're always offering sweet rice. That's there also. You're supposed to offer sweet rice along with the jugya. You know, ghee and grains and sweet rice. So when Agni gets the sweet rice and Swaha brings him a bowl of sweet rice, wow. Dry barley and sesame with, you know, mixed with little ghee is nice. And ghee is nice, but it can't compare to sweet rice. That's the nicest. So in the same way, the original Swaha, the original female personality, the original Shakti who's serving her Purusha is Radharani. So Saraswati is like, as I mentioned some classes, a couple of classes ago, she's indicating Radharani here. That personality, whom we should ultimately offer ourselves to with the Gopal mantra, is Srimati Radharani, because she's the greatest servitor and worshipper and lover of Krishnaya and of Govindaya and of Gopi Janavallabha. Right? So Swaha. So that Priya is Priyaji, and that Priyaji is Radharani. And her Priyatam is Gopi Janavallabha and Govindaya and Krishnaya. So Saraswati is speaking this mantra. So she's speaking it like that. Now, some more reading, if you bear with me. This is the purpose of the Gopal mantra. I think it's kind of repetitious what we already said. I'll read this part. The Gopal mantra, consisting of Krishna's names, Krishna, Govindaya, Gopi Janavallabha, is non-different from the Supreme Lord. The process of chanting and attentively meditating upon such a mantra is called, well, let me ask you what it's called. What does it mean? What is the process when you take a mantra and you chant that mantra and you meditatively meditate, you attentively meditate upon that mantra. Yes, mantra upasana. This is mantra upasana. Remember we discussed Swarasiki Upasana, or Mantra Upasana, in verse, it's in a purport of Brahma Samhita, verse 4 or 5. So this Gopal Mantra is that type of meditation, that type of worship, or Upasana. At least it should be. It's called Mantra Upasana, or worship through the channel of the mantra. As one chants the Gopal Mantra, he progressively realizes Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes. He also realizes his own spiritual form and becomes established in his eternal service to Krishna. Mantra upasana meditation must be accompanied by service to Krishna. Under the direction of Saraswati, Brahma, the head of our sampradaya, performed mantra upasana meditation. After thousands of years of meditating upon Gopi Janavallabha, Brahma attained perfection, as mentioned in chapter 1 of this book. Each mantra has a particular Ishtadeva ruling deity. The deity of the Gopal mantra is Gopal Krishna. The particular form of Gopal depends on the individual sentiments of a devotee. For those in Sakyabhav, Gopal takes the cows out for grazing. Gopal sits on Yashoda's lap for those with parental love. Devotees of Madhurya Ras see him as Kishore Gopal, pleasing the senses of his beloved Kishori. The Gopal mantra is used primarily for archana and the Kam Gayatri for sandhya meditation at the three junctures of the day. Similarly, the Gaur mantra is for worship and the Gaur Gayatri is for sandhya meditation. It appears that the same results can be had from either Gopal mantra or Kam Gayatri. But the Brahma Samhita indicates that the Kam Gayatri, being given later to Brahma, gave more complete realization of Krishna, which we'll see. This mystic 18-syllable Gopal mantra, this is a quotation from Gopal Tapati Upanishad. This mystic 18-syllable Gopal mantra conveys the Swayam Rupa of Krishna with Radhika on an emerald-studded golden throne, sitting in the center of a 1,000-petaled lotus flower, under wish-fulfilling tree at Yogapit and Vrindavan. Oftentimes, When the guru gives this mantra to the shishya, disciple, he will also give him a form of yoga pit dhyan, as you mentioned. Meditation on the yoga pit, which includes some of these things mentioned here. Radha and Krishna are being attended by thousands of Brajagopis, and the constant remembrance of this pastime at the stage of sadhana ultimately leads to the attainment of Vastu Siddhi, the final goal. Gopal Tapani Upanishad. So those are some brief little mentions about the identity and importance of Gopal Mantra.